I've been coming here for a long, long time, even before they got these facilities. Brother Charlie was in the smaller building, and I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed every service.
Amen.
Now, I've never been here when I went away with any regrets. I mean, I'm just glad to be here. Appreciate Brother Charlie.
Amen.
I was coming out of Arkansas a few days ago, and the telephone rang, and I asked him to move Brother Charlie. Now, wasn't that nice of him to think about me? And he said, "You're going to let me come." Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Charlie let both of us come. Brother Charlie, Andrew said I could come to the meeting, and I said, "Oh, Charlie, I'll be there. I'll be there on Monday."
Amen.
And I mean, I purposed I was going to be here yesterday. I purposed. But somehow I lost my purpose. Just not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll call him and explain to him. And the second thought was, no. If I call Charlie, he'll say, "That's all right, Earl. We need your seat."
Yeah.
Appreciate him letting me come. Amen.
Amen.
Now, over in the book of John, if you'd like to turn with us there. John chapter 20 and verse 1 beginning. John chapter 20 and verse 1 beginning. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, on the sepulchre, seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, said unto them, "They have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Now we see a picture here of Mary Magdalene as she is desperately searching for the Lord. Did you ever search for him? I mean, really, really, really search for him? Really search for the Lord? Now, number one, in the very beginning, why is she searching so diligently for the Lord? Well, about three things here, I believe, that would explain that to us. Dear people, she remembers where he found her.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in bad shape.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Brother Charlie, she had seven devils. Under the influence and the power and the dominion of seven devils when the Lord found her. Do you remember where the Lord found you? I'll give a little personal testimony here. Let me tell you just a moment where the Lord found me. He didn't find me in a real pleasant place. In fact, the business, I want to say this, when he found me, he didn't get no bargain. You think he got a real bargain when he got you?
No,
but you know, really, he wasn't looking for a bargain, was he?
No,
just looking for an old, hell-deserving sinner. He can reach way down below the bottom. Listen up, put him on display. But anyway, beloved, I remember when I was lost. Can you remember when you was lost? Now I remember the conviction from the precious Holy Ghost. How many this morning would be here if it had not been for the conviction of the Holy Ghost? How many of you think maybe volunteers to come to the Lord without Him first dealing with you?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you couldn't, but I know I wouldn't have. Sin had a grip on me!
Right.
I'd have still been in sin! Still been in sin! If God hadn't... You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Thank God for a conviction of the Holy Ghost. And so, beloved, I knew I was going to die.
Yeah.
How many ever take a span of time to just meditate on the thought, "I'm going to die"? You know, for the most part, somebody else will die. Somebody else will die. I mean, how many ever taken a long span of time and meditate on, I am going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. This may be my last shout. I'm going to die. I knew I was going to die. And listen, brother, I had a fear of dying. I had a fear of dying. For I knew I was going to hell. Nobody couldn't convince me I wasn't going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. I had such a fear, such a dread of dying until, really, to be honest with you, I was afraid to go on a journey. I was afraid I'd get killed and go to hell. It'd be hard for you to believe this, but I was afraid. I was afraid to go to work. Of course, I was lazy too. Can anybody identify with that? Said, do I have a witness? Even afraid to go to sleep at night, afraid I'd die during the night and go to hell. Holy Ghost came to me in essence and put the handcuffs on me. Thank God for that. If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be there in hell. Said, you're going into judgment, whether you want to or not. He didn't ask my permission. In salvation, he'll knock and knock and knock and knock. But in judgment, he don't necessarily knock. He just comes in anyway. Here I'm bound in the Holy Ghost. I'm approaching judgment, approaching hell. But this is where he found me. Where he found me. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Brother Charlie, he just stepped up beside him and whispered into my ear and said, Earl, if you want me to, I'll settle this out of court for you. He settled it! He settled it! I say, he settled it out of court! I'm down. I never did! Never did get to that judgment. I never will! Why? Because he took it for me! Go! I'm glad! He found me! He found me! But all hopes were gone. She remembered where he found it. And then another reason, beloved, is this. She had heard him speak these words. Sometimes she did hear. She had heard him speak these words, and she knew it from personal experience, where he said, without me, you can do nothing. Let me ask you a question. What can you do without the Lord? I mean, at the close of a busy day, when you subtract everything that he's done, what do you got left? I mean, the things that you've done without him, how much does it add up to? How great will be your reward? When it's all subtracted, that he's done that, it's all subtracted. It's all left up to you. How much reward will you have? He said, I remember. He said, and I know, without him, I can do nothing. And then the next thing, beloved, he encouraged to search for him was, now keep in mind, she's under the dominion of seven devils. And I tell you, to the flesh, the devil has a lot of things to offer. You know what, so far as the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is concerned. A lot of bright lights, so forth, so on. A lot of thrills, so on. But she said, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah, that's right. So we find she begins her search for the Lord. Number one, we find in her search for the Lord, he rises early. That's audible. David said in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early. Early! Early! Well, I see. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where the water is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. I can easily understand how the soul cries out for the presence of the Lord. But here, contrary to human nature, the flesh. It's not the nature of this flesh to cry out for the presence of God. It's the nature of this flesh to go to the hog pen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's the nature of this flesh to go astray.
Yeah.
But we find that David's saying, even contrary to nature,
yeah.
I'm so dead to sin, I'm crying out even contrary to nature from the flesh for the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
She's searching for the Lord in early rising.
Yeah.
I tell you something here you won't believe. I tell you a lot of things you won't believe. See, no business. Listen.
I was lying in bed one morning about 10 o'clock. Humble as I knew how, sincere as I knew how, I said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? He said, get up.
You say, preacher, I don't really believe the Lord talks to people. Well, maybe don't. He really enjoys talking to people that will listen to
him.
I was talking to a person one time, and I wasn't getting their attention. I just was not getting their attention. Come to find out, I was talking to a wooden Indian. The Lord really enjoys talking to people that will listen to him.
Right.
Friend here, beloved Mary Magdalene, she's searching diligently for the Lord.
Right. Yep.
She's looking for him as faithfully and as consistently and love as you would look for a needle in a haystack.
Right.
She rises early, seeking, searching very diligently for the Lord. Do you search for him diligently? She didn't just turn over one rock and he's not there. Well, we find that the disciples, when she went and told them, come and help me, when they came out there and they looked in, they said he's gone. They just gave up, went back home, not her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's diligently searching for the Lord. Early rising. We miss a lot of things when we don't rise early.
Amen.
And then not only, beloved, we find that she's diligently searching for the Lord in her early rising. But we find in her pleading the aid of others. You know, there's times I believe we need some help. I believe we need some help. And we find that she's calling on the brethren to come and help her find him. And not only the brethren to come and help her find him, but even the angels, she's calling her help her find.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and then the love of her patience, she's waiting. She's not going to give up.
Amen.
I mean, she is not going to give up.
Amen.
Too many times we give up too quick.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah.
Oh, and then listen, beloved, we find that there's her tears. She that goeth forth and weepeth, by a precious seed, doubtless come again with rejoicing, by the she's with him. Her tears.
Amen.
Our oldest daughter, she's retired now on Social Security. Our baby is drawing Social Security. Our baby daughter is drawing Social Security. Did I tell you how old I am? I mean, by the time you wouldn't believe it, but our baby daughter is on Social Security.
Amen. I'm glad she was like, maybe borrow a little money from her. Anyway, our oldest daughter, she turned 16 now years ago, and she said, "Daddy, I want you to take me to Blue Ridge and get my driver's license." I said, "Well, jump in the car, let's go." I mean, she'd studied that little pimp, that Brother Shirley. Oh, she knew that thing through and through. Made an excellent grade, and patrolman was thrilled through and through. "Come on, little lady, get in the car. Let's have this driver's test over and get you on the road." About 15 minutes, they come back, and he was shaking. I mean, he couldn't even speak. He was like the salesman, Bible salesman. He was selling more Bibles than anybody in the entire firm. Management called him and said, "Give us a demo. Show us how you do this." He said, "Well, I'll go up and knock on the door." And said, "The lady comes to the door," and I said, "Ma'am, do you want to buy a Bible from me? Or do you want me to read it to you?" Out of the whole box, wouldn't you? Listen to what we find. The patrolman, the authorized official patrolman, looked at my daughter and she said, he said, "Little lady, no way I can issue you a driver's license." He said, "You can't drive, you'll kill somebody." And Joyce, she just bowed her head and started weeping. She stood there and wept, and she didn't say, "I've got friends that can't drive as good as I can, but they got license." She didn't say that. She just wept. Tears just puddled. That patrolman saw them tears, and he did this. "She still can't drive, but she's got license." I'm saying there is a ministry in town. Mary Magdalene not only rising early, seeking the aid of others, patiently waiting. But listen, beloved, are we sad? She's weeping. Now I want you to notice an unusual desire. Now she knows he's dead. In her mind, she knows the Lord's dead. She knows he was dead when they put her in the tomb. And we find she knows a dead person can do nothing for her. I mean, she knows a dead person can do nothing for her. But she's searching for him that she might do something for him. That's unusual. Searching for a dead person that can do absolutely nothing for her, but she wants to do something for him. Supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if you take him away, show me where you put him. I'll go get him." Very unusual. But now I want you to notice this. Although she rises early, she's 68 of others. She waits patiently. She shed tears. Her desire is to do something for him, and for nothing in return. For nothing. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Do we serve the Lord expecting nothing in return? But at this point, you would think, would you not think, after early rising, diligently seek him, had the aid of others, beloved, the tears, the desire to do something with nothing in mind in return. Wouldn't you think she'd be shouting the victory by now? But she's not. Why is she not shouting? She hadn't found him. Nothing but his presence is going to bring contentment to her. Now, think about this for just a moment. You have your undivided attention? I believe I do. Didn't the Lord on one occasion say, "Ask, whatsoever you will shall be given unto you"? Ask, regardless.
minor or major. Ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. Now, what would you ask for? I mean, the Lord, but Charlie, he said, go ahead. Every one of you, nobody except, yet every one of you, just ask whatever you want, and the Lord said, I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? You don't have to tell me, but in your line of thinking, what would you ask for? Whatever it is that you would ask for, the Lord would say, you wanted that instead of me. The man dream without any hesitation. She said, Lord, I just want you. Although you're dead, I just want you. Although you can't do nothing for me, I still just want you. I say, whatever it may be that your heart would desire to have, the Lord would say, you wanted that above me.
That's right.
So we find here that although she rises early, seeks the aid of others, waits patiently, weeps tears, willing to do without anything in return.
Right.
Go away empty-handed.
Amen.
She hadn't found him.
Now
the question will be, why hadn't she found him? Why hadn't she found him? You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you?
Amen.
Well, now, number one, please. Have I got you undivided attention?
Yeah.
No need me preaching to you if you don't listen.
Amen.
Dear people, Mary Magdalene, though sincere she is wandering in the wilderness. Now, how much do you accomplish when you're wandering in the wilderness? The children of Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. How much closer to Canaan were they after 40 years?
Yeah. Come on.
That's right.
She has good intentions. She's seeking diligently to find him. But she's not finding him because she's wandering in the wilderness. You say, now, Bridget, how do you know she's wandering in the wilderness? Well, listen. Do you not believe that Mary Magdalene was in his presence when he taught and preached on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection?
Yeah.
If she'd have been listening,
yeah.
If she'd have been listening, if she'd have wandered in the wilderness.
Right.
I mean, she's out there walking around in circles in the wilderness and not listening.
Right.
And for the most part, when you're wandering in the wilderness, you're walking in the dark.
Come on.
And it's hard to find your way in the dark.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Yeah. For the most part, in your traveling in the dark, you're going in circles.
Right.
Wandering in the wilderness. And for the most part, you're accomplishing nothing when you're wandering in the
wilderness. Right.
Now just take a little inventory of your life right here, looking back a few days. Have you ever spent any time at all wandering in the wilderness?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, dear beloved. I say again, she's wandering in the wilderness because she's not listening. Very important, very important we listen. He's an avenue, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the
church.
If she'd have been a listener to what he said, why is she looking for a dead man?
Amen.
Don't add that, does it? She's wandering in the wilderness because of the dullness of her hearing.
Yeah.
If she'd been a listener, she wouldn't be looking for a dead man.
That's right.
After all, he preached and taught on his death, on his burial, on his resurrection.
Right.
She's wandering in the wilderness. That's one reason, beloved. I believe she's not finding him because she's wandering in the wilderness.
That's
right. And then another thing, beloved, her faith has weakened or died. She'd had real faith in the resurrection. Let me ask you a question here. How can you defeat the resurrection?
You can.
The resurrection cannot be defeated.
Amen.
You and I, if we walk in
victory. If we'll walk in victory, we're walking in the power of the resurrection. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing can defeat the resurrection. Tell me who can defeat the resurrection. Amen. I mean, who could defeat the resurrection? Do you walk in the faith in the resurrection? No defeat.
Amen.
The resurrection cannot be defeated.
Amen.
She'd have had real, genuine faith. Instead of being out there looking for a dead body, she'd have been sitting in the pew listening for a message.
Yeah.
Well, sure would. I mean, real faith would have said, you just sit down here in the pew and listen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And then another thing, blood tells her that she's in the wilderness because her timing is off course. Timing does make a difference.
Right.
That little automobile that brought you to church this morning, if it gets out of time, it probably won't make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say her timing was off course.
Right.
Her timing was off course. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
Right.
Time is off course. Now, we go to the cemetery quite often and place flowers on the mound, but for the most part, we don't go on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. For the most part, we go to church.
Amen.
Instead of going to the cemetery, go to church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know what? The time to all things.
Right.
10 o'clock on Sunday morning, it's time to go to church.
Right.
She got her timing off. She's in the world because of timing. I will say just this one thing. I appreciate timing. I was coming out of Temple, Texas almost a year ago, and I left out there about 9:15, and I right this side of Shreveport, Louisiana, about 20 miles, and I looked down at my speedometer and it was sitting on 65 miles an hour, and when I looked back up to the road about 10 feet in front of me, half grown deer. Lord, I thought this is it. Man, not like. Out here, 100 miles from nowhere, and that deer's got me, and what am I going to do? 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't shout.
Yeah.
Would you shout it? Lord, I thank you. Somehow, Brother Charlie, I believe the Lord kicked him in overdrive. Hallelujah! I mean, I barely felt his tail bump the fender. No damn boy. You talk about shouting. That was time to shout.
Yeah.
I said timing does mean something.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was in time.
Yeah.
No. The man believes timing.
Yeah.
Timing is all course.
Yeah.
And then, not only, beloved, we find that she wandering, searching diligently, rising early, seeking aid of others, waiting patiently, weeping, praying. I've got to have him. I've got to have him. But she still hadn't found him. Another reason that she hadn't found him is, hear me, you listen to me, what she is searching for doesn't exist. How can you find something that does not exist?
Amen. Right.
Now, you've heard the story, like searching for a needle in a haystack. That's what she'd do. And if there'd been a needle in that haystack, she'd have found it. But she'd take every little piece of straw on the other side, find no needle because there's not one in there. What she is diligently searching for doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
How many times, people, do we search for something that does not exist?
Yeah.
How many times do we spend hours, maybe even on our knees, maybe even fasting? But if it don't exist, how can you find it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just wandering in the wilderness if it don't exist. Sad commentary, but you're just wasting your time if it don't exist. I just say this humbly and tenderly, he's not dead. I mean, he's just not dead. She thinks she is. Positive thinking. I mean, that's positive thinking. But how in the world can a positive thinking fellow find something that don't exist?
Glory.
It's got to exist before you can find it.
Right.
Charlie, I could have never found you if you hadn't existed. Well, now I'm saying that all these things that she did in her search are honorable. But I say again, if it don't exist, you may not give up, but you still can't find it. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that although she's put forth all of these efforts to no avail, it's just brought her to the place that she's a weeping, she's a sinking, she's going down in doubt and going down in fears. She's not going to live much longer. Under that kind of a load, she's going to die pretty soon. But isn't it wonderful, though the Lord sees her, I beloved, she's wasted all that time wandering in the wilderness because of these different reasons. He still loves her.
Amen.
I know the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please Him. But don't you think sometimes maybe the Lord does something for us when He's not well pleased with us? I thank God. His heart goes out to Mary Magdalene. No, she's a failure. I mean, the evidence is there. She is a failure. But I can see the Lord by line of thinking. If I could kindly read His plans, schedule, Brother Charlie, after the resurrection, His first mission is to take the blood to the mercy seat. He's on His way. But He hears her cry. Now think about this, people. I appreciate the scripture in the book of Hebrews that said, seeing, therefore, we have a great high priest passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. All points to the like. Let us. It's you and I. That's what come boldly. That Amen. Means you don't even have to stop and knock. Just come on in.
Amen.
Amen.
May obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. But Mary Magdalene can't get there. She's too low.
Right.
Has there been a time in your life you just couldn't pray?
Amen.
So pushed down you just couldn't pray?
Yeah.
I visited the hospital down Marietta 7 years ago in Kenistone. And the nurse said, "Preacher, come over here and talk to this little lady. What happened?" Her husband was a mechanic. He got some grease on his clothes. Unthoughtedly, she takes some gasoline. Cleaning them spots. Them invisible fumes slowly made their way to a pilot light explosion, burned her turbo. She said, "Preacher, I'm so glad you came in to visit with me and pray with me." Said, "The other night I was suffering so bad, unbearable pain." Said, "I asked the doctor to get somebody to come and pray with me." Said, "He excused himself." I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't know who in the world I could contact this time of night." Said, "Can't you just pray for yourself?" Tears, she said, "Preacher, I get so low tired I can't pray." I'll get there. But isn't it wonderful? When I'm weak, that don't mean he's weak. When my faith dies, that don't mean his faith dies. Let me drop this in right here for just a thought, if I may. I was out in Amarillo, Texas, back a few months ago, and Brother Glenn Stocker, at the time, a good friend, he said, "Earl," he said, "I'm going to let you take a ride with me in my airplane." I thought, "Well, that'd be well and good, but I've got some plans for the future." And sure enough, he took me out there, and we pulled that little plane out, and he cranked it up, and Charlie, I got to looking around, and
Oh, that's a nice play, but I don't know whether it's even his or not. I have my doubts about him. I don't know whether he can even fly the thing or not. I have my doubts about it. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to be honest. My faith is not sufficient to get in that plane with him. But now think about this. My faith is not sufficient for a lot of things. But now listen to me. Listen to me. Didn't Paul say, I am crucified with Christ?
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, all the flesh, I live it by the faith. The faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord says, you can go with my faith.
Right.
You're going to make a journey. Your faith is way more his. His faith never weakens.
Amen.
His faith never wobbles.
Amen.
Go in the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
My faith was so weak I wouldn't even get in the plane. But when the Lord let me go in His faith, I had a pleasant ride.
Amen.
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 What can we do without Him? Here's a picture. She's a sinking. She's a going under. She's a dying. And the Lord's attention is brought to her defeat. Now, you remember the disciples when they're in the upper room? They wasn't up there really praying. They wasn't up there really planning a camp meeting. They wasn't up there really planning on going out and having a great big meeting. They're up there having a nervous breakdown.
Amen.
Sure are! For fear the Jews kill them.
Right.
Our Lord used some real wisdom. Charlie, if anyone had been knocked on the door, then everyone's saying.
Yeah.
Feet open the door. Don't you know? They had their eye on that knob, hit the booth, didn't they?
Yeah.
He didn't even knock, didn't even take the hold of the door there. He just stepped in the midst.
Yeah.
He
Amen.
Said, peace be unto thee.
Yeah.
It was their defeat that constrained him to come in.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
It wasn't a great faith. It wasn't a great ability. It wasn't a great knowledge. It wasn't that they knew a whole lot about the Greek and the Hebrew. I mean, they were born under.
Yeah.
They were seeking to rise no more.
Right.
And the Lord just appeared to them. So if I'm Mary Magdalene seeking, she's going under. Although she does some audible things, she's in the wilderness. She's searching for something that exists. Now, lovely Lord, I say again, if I know anything about his schedule, number one, take the blood for the mercy seat. He's on his way. But he sees Mary Magdalene going under. He said, I can't allow that.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'll be honest with you, some of the best things the Lord's ever done for me is when I give up.
Right.
What else can she do except give up?
Yeah.
She's at wit's end.
Yeah.
But our lovely Lord's not at wit's end. He's still alive.
Amen.
And what the Lord did, some of you got this telephone system, you'll be talking to someone, you'll have another call to come in, you'll say to the existing person, I got another call coming in, put you on hold. He said to heaven, I'm on my way with the blood. But I got another call coming in.
Yeah.
My first love, little Mary Magdalene. She's fainting.
Yeah.
I know. It wouldn't take me but the quickest lightning to go there and come back. She'd be dead when I come back.
Yeah.
Take care of her first.
Yeah.
Put heaven on hold for her sake. And it was he just stepped on the scene there and kind of detoured a little bit, stepped on the scene, put heaven on hold. She thought it was a gardener. See? I mean, she pushed down with doubts. Pushed down with all things. She don't have a vision. All things she can see is a dead man. Well, he's not dead. Our Lord's not dead. All she no vision. All the Lord did, she stepped over there and she said to him, said, sir, supposing he's a gardener, if you'll just tell me where you put him, I'll go get him.
Yeah.
all these other things had failed. The disciples had failed to help us. The angels had failed to help us. Their words didn't help it. Their words didn't wipe her tears away. All our love the Lord had to do was just say, Mary. Mary, one time.
Yeah.
I mean, just one time. Mary.
Amen.
She jumped out of that wilderness, jumped over there in Ephesians 3, unto him that's able to do exceeding. Above all, you can ask the thing from the power that worketh in you, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah!
All she needed.
Yes.
Just to hear him speak her name.
Amen.
She jumped out of that wilderness. And I doubt if she ever walked in the morning. I'll say this to people. We're wasting our time wandering in the wilderness.
Amen.
Amen. We're not even spinning our wheels fast when we're in the wilderness. We're bogging down. Amen. Let's not walk in the wilderness. Let's walk in the footsteps of a risen Savior.
Amen.